New song from Tame Impala, just having a chat with some of the guys from the band about a shared love of the band, and with good reason as well. That's going to be on their forthcoming album, which is due later this year. We've got no name for the album yet, no date either. And before that, we had a new song from Marika Hackman and Ophelia, and that's from her debut album, We Slept at Last, which we know about because it's already out. Came out in January, right? And like I say, big hello to right. Let's see if I can get your names right in the right order. We got Paul and John and Charlie and Neil and Martin. Hey, it's not bad, is it? That's the hardest thing I've had to do all day, but that was, yeah, that's not bad, right? Hello to Gulag Vacation. They're here to play three songs live in the studio. So what have we got coming up?
We've got a song called A Chance to Roam. That's the first one.
Brilliant. Okay, and right, I'm just doing my usual bit of multitasking here, so let's fire up the cameras and everything. Okay, when you're ready, let's hear A Chance to Roam.
Become a mutineer, I'd not be would simply disappear. I wander near and far across every known frontier. I cross the frozen lands and the desert sands, never to be seen again. I'd like to do more roaming than I've ever done before, but I never have a chance to roam around. No, I never have a chance to roam around. No, I never have a chance to roam around.
I say it every time. It's always an embarrassment when you outnumber the crowd. But that was fantastic. It was really good. I was clapping for many there. That was great. That was A Chance to Roam. What was the song about, John?
I think you've got to try and understand what the sort of songs we write at the moment. They are really about the Soviet Gulag camps, Soviet labour camps. And this is really just sort of an expression of a prisoner, an inmate's desire to get away and just to roam away, get away anywhere.
Yeah. A lot of the songs, we'll talk about the songs during the interview itself, but a lot of the songs are kind of intertwined and they've all got a common theme going through, haven't they?
Well, that's right. We've written a whole series of songs. We've got about just a little over 20 so far that we've written, and between them they tell a story. They tell the story of one particular individual's sort of arrest and his journey through the system and eventually his demise in the Gulag labour camps.
Right, okay. Now we've got the second song coming up.
The second song.
Do you want to introduce it?
Well, Charlie's going to sing this, so we've got to...
Are we all in...
We've got to move around a bit. Is that okay?
Yeah, should be able to move that around, yeah. Joys of live radio.
Okay, so...
Yeah, okay, we've got you, Charlie. Okay,
yeah, hello.
We can receive you.
This song is called Chukotka in the Winter.
Okay.
It goes a little something like this.
Right. You count us in, Charlie, or is Mark?
Moscow. I would take a walk in Gorky Park, watch ballet at the Bolshoi from the front row, take a stroll through Red Square after dark. How I miss Odessa in the summer. Well, I guess Odessa, she has changed. I used to like to sit beside the ocean, climb Potemkin steps out in the rain.
Fantastic, fantastic. That was Chukotka in the, which part of Russia is Chukotka in? It's obviously in Siberia somewhere, isn't it?
It's in the farthest sort of northeastern corner, Kolymyr. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I'm quite familiar with Russia, yeah, not too bad, yeah. It's sort of nearer, because I used to play Risk when I was younger, so you've got the, what's the name of the one at the right at the end? Is it Kamchatka or somewhere?
Kamchatka's a little bit further south. That's sort of a peninsula, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Fancy of a Kosh.
Completely balmy there, then.
Sort of further... It's that end of Russia.
Right, yeah, I'm
further
with you,
north,
yeah.
Well into the Arctic Circle.
Okay, Vladivostok's a bit further south as well, was that? Yeah. Okay, so we got it. So northeast Russia.
Right, northeast, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cold there. Okay, right, and that was Chukotka in the winter when it's going to be extremely cold as well. right. Slightly, yes. Okay, right, we're going to have one more song now. This song is The Captain.
It's called The Captain, yeah.
Okay, and right, when you're ready, let's. Are we ready? Haven't looked around the room yet to see if everyone's ready. We're getting it, right.
Yep.
Fantastic. Three songs from Gulag.
At the end before the rest of you.
Three songs from Gulag Vacation there. We will be having a chat with the band in a few minutes' time. That was Dinosaur Pile Up and Arizona Waiting. I think it was only appropriate that we should be playing something American just for a bit of balance there, because we've had all these Russian songs. And that was requested by Charlie. Good choice, Charlie, from the band. So, hello to Gulag Vacation. Hello.
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 Hello. We put you all in front of the microphones now. So let's have a talk about yourselves and the music. Was that your first acoustic live session? On the radio?
On the radio, yeah.
Hey, I'm honoured. That's pretty good. Yeah.
To be honest, the only thing we've done live is us three went to an open mic at the British Oak in Cheltenham, didn't we? That's the only live stuff we've actually done with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that... you're fairly new as a band, aren't you? I'm guessing you've known each other a long, long time, though, especially the ones that are all related to each other.
Well, we've been playing together for a few years, actually, but Well, I guess I'm the youngest, and I'm the nephew of John, who writes music and everything, and the son of Paul, who adds some crazy ukulele and
spice.
Right, so John and Paul are brothers. I'm just trying to work out the family tree. Right, family. Okay.
And I'm the nephew.
And son.
Okay.
Both. It's not some weird... It's not
some weird sort of incestuous round.
Or anything weird like that. Okay, let's forget about the family ties, because that's making it a little bit confusing.
Okay. All right, so you've all known each other quite a while.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
For all of my life.
Okay, some of you, of course, were in bands before. Neil, we know you from quite a few years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, maybe.
2008,
from
actually. Yeah, my wife and I had a little band called Fat Bat Girl and the Baroness of Mitchum.
That's right, yeah.
A bit of a sort of indie, sort of underground, you know, you can't categorise it, it's just mad.
And, yeah, I think we played a couple of the songs on Phoenix at the time, yeah.
And, we're still working on some really crazy stuff coming out probably later this year.
Plenty of time to get your debut album sorted out
definitely.
For that, yeah.
And, I actually got my friend... I started off in a band called Park back in 97.
Right.
With a guy called Tony Johns, who's a Brentwood man. And he got me into the bass and... You know, picking up a bass at 27 is a bit late, but I got there in the end. But quite a lot of music in my life, and been playing with John for about sort of 5 or 6 years. Mm. Done a couple of other small bands, done a gig in Blackheath with a band called Evidence, and it's rolled onto this fascinating album.
Yeah, I mean, where did the inspiration come from to call yourself Gulag Vacation? Because this is obviously a concept, isn't it? It must be someone's master plan.
Well, yeah, it came from me actually stumbling over an article on the internet about a mayor in Vorkuta, which is sort of a community way up beyond, you know, above the Arctic Circle in Russia. Vorkuta was a place where there were quite a number of labour camps back in the Soviet times, and he had this, he thought, wonderful idea of opening a sort of a gulag vacation centre, a gulag leisure complex, in fact.
Right.
Themed vacation destination where visitors could experience the labour camp, or
how it was. We're talking about post-Soviet times, aren't we?
Yeah, is this a real thing? Well, it's an impoverished community, and I guess the guy was just looking at every angle he could think of, how he could bring money into the region.
That's awful.
I think there's a lot of people who would go for something like that, because everyone's looking for a different travelling experience, and
it's a lot of beer in Butlins, really. But,
Yeah, I've stayed at hotels like that. We all have, yeah.
It's almost like a Holocaust theme park sort of thing going down. It's all my fault.
Well, they weren't going for genocide, so you haven't got that.
It's not quite as bad. I guess, but almost.
But anyway, that
it was terrible, awful.
Bad taste.
Watchtowers and paintball guns, apparently. But anyway, that story, which I found quite sort of amusing in a strange way. It just sort of inspired the name Gulag Vacation, and from that came the whole idea of writing a series of songs based on a story. Of
of someone's experience of the system as it was, you know, being arrested, being committed and being exiled and being basically worked and starved to death.
Going to Uncle Joe's holiday camp.
Indeed, that's the working title of the project, Uncle Joseph's Holiday Camp. So far, we've written about 22 songs, I think. We've recorded 12. Hopefully, I'm also working on writing a story, actually writing the novel, the story as a novel. And I've got some ambitions of it being perhaps some sort of musical play, ultimately. But we'll see. It's a lot of work.
It is a concept album of the old traditional sense, really. It's a story that goes through it and a theme from start to finish, isn't it?
I guess it is.
Well, yeah. Most of the songs are about your central character, aren't they?
Yeah.
Now I've found your notes now, so I've got all your details about that.
You sent me loads and loads of notes
about it, which I read at the time and then completely forgot about, and here we are. We're talking about Vorkuta. That's right, Igor Spektor. Looking for investors for it, and obviously this is all about it's quite, you know, I mean, it's obvious that it's not a happy, light, fun thing. But then again, a lot of Russian music does actually have that kind of bounce about it. It's got that.
They must be the most stoic people through their history, and what they've gone through has just bred such a hard nut. Mm. The Russians put up with everything, including in wars. They've read things about them. They've been told to march from A to B and they're being fired on. They don't stop, they just carry on marching. They're so stoical, these people. But that's got to be what they've been up against, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an incredible piece of history, really, what happens throughout the whole Soviet era. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to go to Russia a couple of years ago, and it's good to travel, isn't it, you know, that kind of thing. And I got to see, you know, Moscow, and I got to see a few other towns as well, and it's amazing how the whole Soviet thing hasn't been eradicated yet. You know, I mean, in the West, people think that, the Berlin Wall fell, the USSR broke up, and communism was the enemy, but they still celebrate their history quite a lot, and there are, whereas you may not see a lot of pictures of Stalin anywhere, you see Lenin everywhere still in Russia, and the hammer and sickle was in the architecture, and it's still there. It's everywhere you go. So it's an amazing thing for the Russian people, really. So who's the main writer? Is it yourself, John? You're doing the writing now. Musically, we normally ask bands who come in, where are your influences? But I would imagine that you've obviously heard a lot of Russian folk music. Is there anything in particular that you've drawn influence from?
I wouldn't say that the influences are mostly Russian. I would say they are mostly sort of certainly Eastern European, maybe Balkan, Balkan folk music, gypsy music, a bit of klezmer. I think that Chukotka in the Winter, hopefully that sort of... Well, I did intend that to borrow from klezmer. I don't know if you know that genre of music.
I've heard of it, yeah. I mean, how would you describe it?
Well, it's sort of Yiddish, Eastern European Jewish wedding music.
Yeah.
And it's real sort of wonderfully...
I think that was the point I was trying to make, because although the subject matter might be kind of downbeat, the music is not necessarily downbeat. It can be quite upbeat and danceable, really.
Indeed, yeah. And we hope it is. I mean, we hope it sort of has that energy and fun about it. I think despite the fact that it is essentially a very, very sort of morbid and sad subject matter, you can. There's been lots of examples where people have taken something sad and downbeat like that and actually presented it in a way that's totally acceptable and respectful. Mm-hmm. To what happened, but nevertheless has quite a hopeful and sort of optimistic message.
It's claiming it back in a way. It's taking a bad story in people's life and turning it into a positive rather than a negative.
I think so.
Okay, I mean, you've recorded a lot of songs, as you said, about 22 or so. You've released a couple of videos as well. A couple of them are live performances or acoustic performances, and one where you're sitting in a tree. yes. Which was
Light Country.
Quite inspired. Yeah.
Can I just interject? All of our videos, or most of our videos, the recent three at least, were filmed by my brother George Barnes.
Right.
At,
yeah.
Room 13. Films.
I'm getting a plug now.
Yeah, I'm plugging, and he is. I tell you what, out of the two of us, I thought I was the creative one of the family, and he has surpassed me, and he's doing so well. I'm so proud of him.
Well,
if anyone needs videos doing, I swear to you, this guy's a guy to go to. He's absolutely amazing.
I've seen the video for Parcel from Home. I mean, that's the real deal, isn't it?
It's all such like cinematic.
It's all storyboarded and acted and everything, isn't it? It's brilliant.
We had the one in the tree because we had the light changing, we had rain intermittently and whatever, and it was ultimately to try and get that so that, you know, the tree was moving. So the way the editing for that, I'm amazed he could get anything out of
it. It was absolutely the raw footage from it was atrocious. Yeah. The fact that he managed to salvage anything from it was astounding, really. But the guy is a genius at what he does.
He's done us proud. Parcel from Home.
Well, certainly Parcel from Home works anyway.
We're
definitely getting the hang of it there.
That was good. We'll put the link up on the website for that later. That was great. Where did you film it?
In my back garden. Mostly.
Oh really?
And a little bit in the
shed.
Heath.
Yeah, most of it was in the potting shed, and it was absolutely freezing. There was ice on the floor, and it really did give us the mood for this film. You know, it's.
You got an authentic Soviet style back garden then?
Yes.
that's a good talking point.
Hopefully the
complete
flymo,
with lawnmower and barbecue.
Yeah, the flymo isn't too prominent.
Complete with chickens and pickaxes.
We had our own personal beer jackets as well, which is always good.
Beer jackets?
Yes.
Is this just a jacket with beer in it?
No, it's just drinking beer and getting warm.
Oh, I see. Right, okay, gotcha. Okay, when do you think the album might be released? Presumably you're recording this, I would guess, at Creative Studios,
Creative Studios, yeah. We've done about 12 so far. I don't know how many we're going to have on the album in the end. It could well be throttled back a little bit, but we've got to complete the story, so it could well be like a double album, 22 tracks. Who knows? But Dave at Creative has been a genius with the with the cutting, excuse me. And I think it's going to come together pretty quickly. I mean, probably by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's good. We're hoping to get Dave down today, actually.
Yeah,
help me out with all the technical stuff. But I'm sure he's listening online.
I wonder if it'd be one of those projects that go on forever because you don't know. I'm not quite happy with it. We have to do it again.
Another plug. David Creative is another genius and is like a master of his trade, and he has made us as sketchy as you would have heard if you were listening to those live recordings just then. He's made us sound like actual musicians, which is a feat in itself. So the guy is brilliant. Dave is
all hail David.
Yes, Dave's had the occasional plug over the years on Phoenix. Yeah, he's done bits and pieces with us. He's a good guy. You mentioned that you did an open mic night as well. Have you done? Have you got plans to do a lot of gigs? Take it on the road.
Well, I think we certainly. I would love to, but it is a little bit difficult. People sitting
it's
around here now, everyone's
it?
Got different commitments, interest in other music projects as well. So it's something that I certainly aspire to.
You could do the occasional festival or something like that, couldn't
well,
you?
Well, this is around
something
you're
thinking
us, about,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
If
anyone's out there listening and they fancy having us come and play, then we're glad to play.
A proper
set.
Russian knees up.
Let's have at least 6 months in advance to manage to play properly.
I would say you've got enough unique selling points to get festival organisers,
Well, you've
excited
got to tick every box, haven't you? And at least we're a box ticker.
That's good. It's good that you say that because, I really don't know what the market is for this sort of style of music. I've no idea.
How many people out there?
Not that that's the point. I mean, that's not what it's about. You know, we're doing it because we enjoy it. And because we want to be creative. So if there's not a market, it doesn't really matter to us, but it would be interesting. I really don't know.
Yeah,
I suppose the only way to find out is get out there and play.
See what the audience says.
See what the reaction is.
I mean, there's plenty of local gatherings. I mean, you're not really... It's not really something... You're not trying to get ensconced in the local folk scene and that kind of thing. I know it's that kind of music is a good fit, but, I mean, it's very much a standalone project, what you're doing, isn't it, really?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. What does the future hold for the band? We've obviously got... the album coming out as well, maybe gigs coming up.
Hopefully,
and we got the novel as well.
Hopefully, I think as the band go, I mean, apart from John, who's writing everything, obviously going towards what he wants to write, story wise and novel wise. As far as the band go, we hope to release an album. Maybe write the story to do some sort of musical play. I mean, that'd be a lot of fun. But I mean, we do all have our separate avenues.
The disparity in ages. I mean, what people probably don't realise, we stretch from 24 years old up to 61. So
about 200.
Yeah, yeah. The difference between us. So as I say, everyone's lifestyle is different. The younger ones are too busy.
I mean, we're lucky enough to have Martin playing with us tonight. Who's played drums for us today. He doesn't actually play for us full time. He's the guitarist and singer in a band called The Astoria, who are absolutely amazing. Amazing pop punk band.
Right.
I play in a band called Follow the Hawk, which I play guitar and sing in. And then obviously Neil's got his own thing, and then John is really working hard to write this story and make everything work, and so it's really hard to get us all together at the same time to be able to produce and write and play all this music. So
it sounds like it's kind of a one-off, but there's still a lot of mileage in it as a project.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's a brilliant experience to get involved with this as well. You know, it's just amazing, and the more time goes on, the better we're getting as musicians as well.
And if people want to get involved, if you have any, like, if you are different in your music tastes, or if you play any obscure instruments and you like what we're doing, you're more than welcome to get in touch.
All right, so not only is it got Soviet themes, you are a cooperative as well, so you can actually coerce people into it.
I mean, we obviously play a certain style of music, but I mean, we're so open to different instruments and different, like, we're not just a guitars and drums sort of band. You know, we've had in our recordings, we've got obviously, as you heard today, ukuleles and mandolins. We've got trumpets. What else? We want everything on the music.
We'd love everything. You know, following on from what Charlie's just said there, it would really please me if we could find a violinist, a fiddle player.
Accordion. Someone that plays accordion would be great.
If there's anyone out there who would be interested
Those instruments really would lend themselves to it, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Also, you know, thinking about it in terms of a musical production of some kind.
Maybe some people that could play guitar, because we're rubbish. So if you could come in and play guitar for us, that'd be great. And maybe also some singers, because we're also rubbish. So yeah, maybe a great overhaul of the whole band would be awesome.
We're looking for a replacement.
Yeah, replace every single member in the band.
Well, we'll put the word out. Not to replace you five, but obviously to see if we can get some other instruments. Obviously, we'll draw the line at some things. I mean, steel drums probably wouldn't be very appropriate.
Well, I'm completely open to steel drums.
I must admit, I came across some people in Lewisham playing. I thought, I wish I had my guitar with me. I knew what they were playing. I thought, it wouldn't be just so good to pull the old...
They got a great sound.
I think there's a steel drum group that play in Gravesend Centre every lunchtime for people that work in Gravesend and can come out and just watch this steel drum group.
What, Russian music?
No, just, well, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Russian music on steel drums.
That would be a...
There's a niche now.
That
come
would be
on,
a concept, yes, definitely.
Get involved.
Okay. Now, if anyone wants to find out more about what you're doing, where can they find you?
We're on Facebook. We don't actually have a Gulag Vacation dedicated website, but hopefully that will be something that's coming along within the near future.
If you'd like to donate to give us the right to a domain of a website, that'd be great. I mean, we can't afford £12 a year. It's just too much for us. We don't make enough in our day jobs.
It's it's Gulag Vacation with a K. It's on Facebook.
You're on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, we're on it quite a lot, so drop us some comments or give us some feedback on the music. If you've listened to this radio station tonight, then be interesting to hear your reaction to our fiery Russian sort of knees up music.
Be gentle, please.
I like the description of fiery Russian knees up music. Yeah. I think that encapsulates it perfectly.
It's the only way to describe it. It's a bit like the producers, you know. we're trying to put our tongue in cheek, so to speak.
For Hitler and Germany.
Well,
it was great.
On that bombshell, I'd like to say big thank you to all of you, Paul, and to Charlie, John, and Neil and Martin for coming in today. The song sounded great. We'll get them up on the website if anyone's listening who might have missed it, and we'll get the interview up there as well. We'll be keeping an eye this year on what comes out of the Creative Studios with regards to the project, and hopefully we'll be able to play some of the tracks sooner or later. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Enjoy.
Paul.
See you soon.
Pleasure.